I think the best known of the books on atheism that have made the New York Times bestseller list are Sam Harris, The End of Faith, and Christopher Hitchens, God is Not Great, and then Richard Dawkins, The God Delusion. And what these books share in common is that they attack the most common understanding of the word God, at least in Western culture, namely that the word God refers to a person-like being, a super powerful authority figure separate from the universe who created the universe a long time ago and from time to time intervenes. In shorthand, I call that way of thinking about God the God of supernatural theism. And I think they're right about that God. I don't believe in that understanding of God either. However, their books basically ignore another understanding of what the word God means that goes way back into antiquity. It's found in the most ancient forms of the religions of the world. So is the other understanding of God, by the way. They run side by side throughout the history of the religions. And this other understanding of God does not think of God as a person-like being separate from the universe, but rather understands that the word God refers to a, for want of a better word, a spiritual reality that interpenetrates the universe. That God is the encompassing spirit, if you will, in whom everything that is. I think the most compact biblical expression of that is found in the book of Acts 17:28, words attributed to Paul, that God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. And notice how the language works. We are in God. We live within God. We have our being within God. So that God is this encompassing spirit in whom everything that is. To give you a post-biblical expression of this, the early Christian theologian Irenaeus, writing around the year 200, said this: God contains everything, and nothing contains God. Again, it's the same image. Everything that is in God, and yet God is more than the sum total of everything. Now, that understanding of God has a technical name. It's called panentheism, and all three parts of that word are important. It means everything is in God. And these three writers, the new atheists, if you will, seem to know nothing about that other understanding of God. Or when they do occasionally mention it, they dismiss it almost immediately as being sort of playing with words, not understanding that this is a very ancient understanding of God, probably most directly associated with the mystics and with mysticism. So when somebody says, well, you know, I don't really believe in God, or those new atheists, they really make a good case for there not being a God, my response always is, tell me about the God you don't believe in. And almost always, it's the God of supernatural theism. There is truth in these books about the new atheism. I think it's a limited truth. But the truth that is in those books is that a very common understanding of God makes no compelling, persuasive sense. This is that understanding of God as the big eye in the sky that sees everything we do and keeps kind of moral track of us and so forth. This is the God who sometimes intervenes to help people, but not consistently. This is the God in whose name the most horrible things have been done. I mean, God has been used to legitimate perhaps the most brutal activities that human beings have engaged in. And so these writers correctly point out that religion, and let me use the plural, religions, as historical phenomena are profoundly ambiguous. Some of the greatest evil in the history of the world has been done in the name of religion, and at the same time, the religions have produced some of the greatest saints and greatest human beings who have ever lived. So there's a half-truth in these books, and that half-truth is every religion has much to be ashamed of. But it's only a partial truth.